everyone. Thanks for having me today on this election day. And I'm channeling my inner Susan B. Anthony, so I told my family that. So today I'm going to be talking about linking soil health to improved water quality via the planting of cover crops. So I'm hoping this will convince Alex, our speaker earlier, that cover crops could be a solution to the nitrate and maybe phosphorus problem. This is a larger project. Jennifer Tank is the PI. Right now we're funded by the USDA, one of those RCPP projects. And we could not have done this today without our partners. We're working with the USGS, the Soil and Water Conservation District in the county we're working in, the Nature Conservancy and Indiana University, and of course the farmers. And this is a real-world project. We're not working on an experimental farm, so it has its challenges, but it also has its advantages. So I'm coming at this sort of from a stream ecology water quality perspective. So greater than 90% of the nearly 50,000 kilometers of streams or ditches in Indiana are within 500 meters of row crop agriculture. And of course, we need tile drainage and channelization for agriculture, but with that, we get an export of excess of nitrogen and phosphorus to sensitive downstream water bodies. And so, of course, you all know this, but excess nutrients get exported to the Great Lakes and to the Gulf of Mexico, and they largely come from the Midwest. And of course, these excess nutrients can fuel algal blooms, the algae die and decompose, and we get large-scale water column hypoxia like we see in the Gulf of Mexico and Lake Erie, these famous pictures you've seen in National Geographic, for example. So how can we maintain productive agriculture? Well, one thing we can do is plant cover crops. And so in the fall, the idea is that these cover crops retain nutrients. They decrease the nutrient loss to the tiles and then improve the water quality. The idea is that in the spring, during termination, these nutrients are released and available for cash crop uptake. So as I mentioned, we have an experimental watershed study. It's called the Shadow Ditch Watershed Study, and we've been conducting this since about 2012, where we were able to have a pre-treatment year. I won't talk a lot about that today. One of our graduate students is doing a lot on the tile drain and ditch water quality. But during that year, some farmers independently planted about 321 acres or 130 hectares of cover crop. That was about 12% of croppable acres in the watershed. In 2013, that was ramped up to about 1,600 acres. That was 67% of croppable acres, so it was really quite an increase. And then we've been able to maintain that for the next 2 years at about 1,600 acres. So my research questions have been, does the planting of cover crops reduce leachable nitrogen and phosphorus? Are these nutrients recycled back to the cash crop post cover crop termination? And now I've been looking into, are these soils different in cover crop versus non-cover crop fields? And which management or soil properties are most driving these differences? So we looked at about 8 to 11 fields or plots, if you will. Most of them had a tile drain that kind of served as the center line of our plots. 2 to 3 of them were no cover crop fields and 6 to 8 in cover crops. It varied from year to year because, again, this was not an experimental farm. It was a farmer. It was an experiment where we had to sort of go at the whims of the farmers. So we sampled 3 sort of perpendicular transects to the ditch and 3 parallel transects. And in each field, we had pooled samples at the 0 to 5 centimeter depth, the 5 to 20 centimeter depth, for about 4 or 12 samples per field. And then we sampled consistently these properties. We have added other things, but this is what we consistently sampled from year to year, organic matter, ammonium nitrate, water, extractable phosphorus, total phosphorus, malic phosphorus, soil moisture, and CEC. Here's our sampling schedule. So the harvest begins, the cover crop is planted. This was farmer choice, but most of them did choose annual rye grass, a couple of them cereal rye, but largely flown on annual rye grass in this watershed. We sampled in the fall of 2013 and 14. The cover crop, the rye grass, usually overwinters and pops back up in the spring. We called this pre-termination period, and we did sample 3 years during pre-termination. And then the cover crop is terminated, and we sampled in 3 years post cover crop termination. So first, does the planting of cover crops reduce leachable nitrogen and phosphorus? So first we looked at water extractable phosphorus in the various years I mentioned. The light brown panels are the fall period, the light green are the spring period. This is when the cover crop is growing. Yellow bars are no cover crop, dark green are cover crop. And we're looking at 0 to 5 centimeters, but the 5 to 20 centimeter depth results had similar trends. And as a reminder, water extractable phosphorus is that phosphorus that leaches easily with rainwater, so you literally extract the phosphorus with deionized water. So generally, there is a trend of less WEP with cover crops, suggesting that the P is tied up in the biomass. And it's notable that now in the spring of 2016, this result is significantly different. The trend was similar for total phosphorus and malic P, but I won't show you that in the interest of time. How about nitrate? Now we definitely see a clear trend, of less nitrate in the cover crop fields. And we didn't observe these same differences with other nitrogen species, including DON, total dissolved nitrogen, and total nitrogen. And I should note, and I didn't include this slide, that we have not seen differences in organic matter or soil organic carbon. So we're looking at other types of carbon, more active carbon. Those results are a little bit hot off the press, because I couldn't get those in. So now I wanted to ask, are nutrients recycled back to the soil post-cover crop termination? And I'm just showing results from the spring of 2015. The right is the cover crop fields, pre and post cover crop termination. The left are those non-cover crop fields, early to late spring. And you can see there's a slight increase. This is ammonium from pre to post and early to late spring. How about nitrate? We are seeing an increase in those cover crop fields from pre to post cover crop termination, but actually a decrease in the no cover crop fields from early to late spring. So we wanted to ask, is this release of nitrogen available for the future cash crop use? And so is this release from the mineralization and nitrification of cover crop residue? So we did a so-called buried bag study where you literally bury soil with cover crop. You can see kind of the cover crop residue here on the left, and without cover crop that serves as kind of a control. And we measure nitrification and mineralization. Just some field pictures. These are the bags buried in the field. And here they are marked with a flag, unburied and then buried here. So you can see on the right are those cover crop fields, the cover crop, the soil with the cover crop residue, the bags without the cover crop residue, and then sort of a double control of no cover crop fields without residue. And clearly you can see that the nitrification and mineralization is higher in those fields with the cover crop residue. So now we're diving into this sort of new analysis, looking at are soils different in cover crop versus no cover crop fields, and which management or soil properties are driving these differences. So don't be scared by this. We dumped all our data into a a multivariate space. This is a multivariate ranked-based statistical analysis, and it shows the similarities and differences of fields based on all the variables. And you can see that the cover crop fields are different from the non-cover crop fields. We did what's called a permutational ANOVA test. But the question is, what's driving that difference? We looked at StatsGo soil typing, which is the most coarse type of soil typing that you can do, but that was where we started. And if we consider all the variables that we measured, these soil types are not different from each other. So they're not likely controlling the difference between cover crop and non-cover crop fields. But we're going to try to look at this more closely and do our own texture analysis and maybe look at the Sergo data set. How about individual farmer management? Well, this is not likely driving the difference because some of the fields with and without cover crops have the same farmer management. So, for example, this 11, that's a cover crop field, was worked by the same farmer, number 3, that had a no cover crop field. We did look at all the measured variables I mentioned in the beginning, and we did do a post hoc test after that PERMANOVA test and found that soil nitrate was explaining most of the difference between fields with and without cover crops. The size of the bubbles indicate the relative amount of nitrate in the soil, so the higher brown bubbles were in the no cover crop fields and the green ones in the cover crop fields. So in conclusion then, our watershed has excessive nutrients from adjacent fields. We employed this large-scale practice of planting cover crops. Cover crops reduce leachable NMP during fall and spring. These release nutrients after cover crop termination are available for the cash crop. Cover crop fields have different soil properties than non-cover crop fields. We're going to explore this in more depth. Right now we can say that soil nitrate is driving the difference between cover crop and non-cover crop fields when we look at all the variables we've measured right now rather than soil type or farmer management. I'd like to thank all the field assistants, graduates, students, undergraduates that have helped with this. As I mentioned, our soil our partners and then our funding organizations. And I'll take any questions, and you can follow us on various means of social media. Our project is called the Indiana Watershed Initiative. Thanks. Sure. He's asking if I saw the same difference at 0 to 20 as I did at 0 to 5. We have the same sort of trends from 5 to 20, and we've also looked at pools, so content of nitrate, and that the trends are a little different, but I haven't presented those data here. But yeah, the trends of decreased, especially with the nitrate analyte, decreased nitrate in the cover crop fields.
Do you change your nitrogen program where you have cover crop versus non-cover crop?
We haven't yet because, as I said, we're working with farmers in the real world, so we can't say reduce your fertilizer inputs. But as we get the data to them, as we present at various farmer days, we're hoping that their mindset will change, which we do a lot of farmer days, soil days, especially in the winter.
Did you see any significant variation in soil properties
The question is, did I see any seasonal differences in soil properties?
Yeah.
We haven't looked at in great detail except for just to show sort of the means across the different seasons, and there's no real trend in the multivariate statistics either. So, but that's something I should look at more closely, for sure.
Okay.